Amen.
Well, my name is Roland Espada, for those that don't know me. Roland Espada on the mic. Y'all always pick on me when I get up here. I'll tell you. Hey, brother. I expect all this fancy stuff. No, not too much. Now, did I do anything right? Where was I? All right. Y'all slow down now. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. I have a problem in English, and I have a problem in Spanish. Like Murphy and Kate said, I'm Puerto Rican. I'm part Panamanian and been raised in the States and lived in many places in the States. And so I've learned a little bit, a lot of the South and a little bit of the North and a little bit of Germany. So my language, you know, always come out just straight, you know. And in Spanish, I'm hearing that some people don't like the way I talk over there. But a lot of people are understanding, you know. A lot of people are listening. I'll tell you a little bit about the ministry. The church is going pretty good. I was a little worried, this last time we left it, because it has gone through some turbulent times, all kinds of things. I don't want to get into specifics, but I think it's teaching them something. It's growing them up, and my trust is in the Lord that when we get back, that we're going to see some blessings because of all this experience that it's going through. But the church has gone through a third baptism in the 2-year time that we've been there, and I thank the Lord for who the Lord sent me to work with at this time, because brother is a very humble brother, Adrian, and I thank the Lord for Adrian and his family. I got a letter right before I left Mexico, a hand sent letter from the sister my wife was talking about, Lucia. She's a neighbor pretty close by in the neighborhood, and she just gave me the letter. I took it from her, and you know, I said, all right, now I got me a message, you know, for the people back home, because this letter was for you guys. And so I want to read the letter, if I may. And she has some verses here, but I'm just going to give you a couple of them that she put before us. But I want to read you the letter along with it. I told her I would, so praise the Lord. It says, dear brethren in San Antonio, I'm translating now. I give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because by his grace I rejoice in the eternal salvation that he has given me. And I also give thanks and prayer to my Heavenly Father for this great family which he had made of all of us who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Then it says, brethren, though we live in different parts of the world, the sure thing is that we are united in one by the Holy Spirit and are one in the Lord according to how it is written in his word. This sister is really, really heart strong, should I say, to God's word. She is a real blessing. And let's go to John 17. She gave us this verse. John 17. Something that was shared this morning by one of the brothers. She puts an emphasis on God's word. That really encourages me, because our faith is grounded in God's word. Because if we start leaning on feelings, we'll really mess up. John 17, in verse 20, it says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And I think she has seen something that she's caring for the church. She wants to see the church in unity. And even though it is, It is, but it's God through his it's shake. So we do ask for y'all's prayers. It says, she continues writing, with the confidence we have in these promises and many more that our Heavenly Father has promised through his word, I pray that we run this race together in the Lord. I thank the Lord in allowing me to share with my brethren a little of his word, of which my heart is full of which God is my witness. I only wait in prayer and faith that the Lord will saturate me with his Holy Spirit and use me according to the gift that he has given me to the edification of the church. Then she finishes off, a short farewell, brethren, because soon we will be with the Lord.
Amen.
Sister Lucia in Salamanca, Mexico. I got it in Spanish here in case anybody wants to see it. I don't know how many of y'all understand Spanish, but there it is. Well, brethren, I've been really encouraged with these meetings. I tell you, they've been a real shower of blessings for me. And some of the messages have really, just from the beginning, have really spoken to me. Just really, man, that's good. That's just solid, basic stuff, but it's just coming over fresh again, you know, just good. But a couple things did speak to me and kind of reminded me of the street ministry or the ministry down there in Mexico. And some of the things that Brother Martin was saying, it says, and like the scriptures say, the labors are few. The harvest is plenty. The harvest is plenty, or the harvest is white. You know, I think about just going down there in Mexico, it coming out of Atlanta, Puerto Rico, and I saw it completely different because Puerto Rico has its religion, has its ways, and has its riches and many things. In Mexico, I went down there and checked it out, and well, we've been down there 2 years now. It just white, ready to harvest. You know, the Lord has allowed me to be in Salamanca, but I think that's ready. It's ready anywhere in Mexico, if not the whole world, not just Mexico, brethren. But I just believe that the labors are few. The labors are few. Too often times, not so much in the colonias or in where the people live, because usually we can follow up on them people pretty well, because usually you can take a certain amount of the street. But when you're out in the plazas or in the park and these people gather around and you know, you got your mockers, you got people that throw eggs and whatever. But you know what? There's some people that gather around.
Amen.
And they listen. And it's the Lord's work, you know. And that's where I have to rest. But we tried ideas of how to reach the multitude after we preach. And I say not that it's always a big crowd, brethren, you know, I'm not saying that, but the times there are, and there's plenty of those. But I say, how can I reach them all? Just me and Adrian. Or sometimes even some of the brothers from church. Now, they are getting out and preaching and whatever. It's a blessing. But, you know, they got their jobs, they got their education and whatever. And, you know, I see so many just leave without at least an invitation to the church, you know. And it just, how can we do it? I was thinking about the plan, maybe just giving everybody tracks real fast and then coming back and asking them if they got questions or something. Whatever, you know, at least to get everybody an invitation to come hear God's word a little more. But I don't know, brother, but y'all need to pray because the harvest is white. Not just in Salamanca, not just in Itapuato. You know, there's going to be tough times wherever, but there's some people that want to listen. They stop and they listen and they need follow-up.
Amen.
I tell you, we feel so short-handed sometimes. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching, brother. Because they come around and they listen. It's just pray for that. Pray to the Lord of harvest that he might send more labors. Also, the other phrase that was real came out real clear last night. Lift up your eyes. Like the brother said, it's a command. Lift it up. Lift your eyes up and look onto the fields. We have our eyes in other things. And we need to see these fields. And I said, boy, Silao, Silaya, Querétaro, these other places, the places that were shown last night. Brethren, it's time to, like they say over there, aprovechar. It's time to take advantage of this great harvest that God has put before us. And let's do some reaping. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul here, Paul has always been a blessing to me. I'm sure it's been to many of the missionaries. We can almost kind of hide in Paul, you know. Paul just becomes, he's just the man upon the earth, so to say, or the human figure. I know God, Jesus, the Lord, he became man and all that. He's like me, you know. He gets his feet dirty, you know. The Lord, hey, he didn't get his feet dirty. He couldn't get his feet dirty, you know. I see Paul, you know, just a person like me, but God called him and God wanted to use him. It says, or God did use him. Ephesians 3 and verse 7, it says, "Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ."
Amen.
Brethren, don't expect till you come become holy thou art, or till you become the theologian that you want to be. Brethren, and I'm not saying you have to go to Mexico, you know. It could be. It could be one of these other places. It could be right here in San Antonio. But brethren, don't wait for that. A lot of people don't feel worthy enough to preach God's word. How often we get out and we feel, oh boy, you know, how am I? No, just get out. Just get out and preach. And I've just had to rest on God's grace, because like Paul says in another place, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And if we keep, like was said here before, if we keep looking in, we're going to stop working. We keep looking around to each and every other person, we're going to stop. But we got to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, because in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. And it's by God's grace. That has been my key word for this last year. It's been grace. Grace. And, you know, we're saved by grace. We're not saved by becoming missionaries. We're not saved by any of our good works. We're saved by grace. And I'm thankful, because if it was by my works, I'd still be short. But praise the Lord for that. He says, Paul says in verse 8, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints." Paul's a humble man. I just wonder, how do you feel? Do you feel real spiritual? Maybe you've been called to a land and do you feel real spiritual? Maybe just here in San Antonio and you feel spiritual comparing yourself to the others at the workplace? The least of all saints. But then God didn't call many wise men, many noble. He calls people like you and me. And he wants to transform us, that's for sure. But he wants to use us. Let's go to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. I think, and let's just go to Psalm 139 first. God knows everything about us. I think too often we know that up here, but too often in our daily walk we I don't know what it is, but sometimes we forget that. And let's look at Psalms 139. It says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." God knows everything about us, brother. He knows our down settings, and he knows when our uprisings. He knows the good and the bad. He knows that. He's acquainted with all our ways, brother. We need to just come recognize who we are. First of all, if you're saved, who you are in Christ. That you're in Christ. That you are saved. If you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, eternally saved. Recognize that. And recognize that you're going to have down. Not that we look for the down settings all the time, but God knows these things. And brother, don't hide from Him. Just confess it to Him and get back up. Then He says in verse 5, "Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me." You know, in the Christian life, you're going to go forward and you're going to go backwards. You know, I can't say I've arrived, but I'm kind of fearless of fearful of God's pulling me back, you know, because I know how it feels. It's good for me. It's good for us, brethren. And well, let's get back to your scripture, get my thought back. It says five, it says, thou hast set me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. God has laid his hand upon you as a Christian. I think of God's hand as grace. I mean, it's not like he laid his hand on us and knocked us out, you know. And we're in his hand. He's laid his hand upon us, you know. And I thank the Lord for that because there's been some, like it says here, that I've been set behind and before. I'm thankful for where I'm at. I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade it. As right now, by God's grace, I would not trade it for anything else. I've had riches. I'm thankful God's blessed. God's provided. I'm thankful for all that. But you know what? This is where it's at. This is where it's at, brother. And you know, I know everybody can't go, but you can. I say you can. You know who you are. God's been dealing with you. He's been showing some things to you. Look at that. Look what it says in verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? You know, I think some brethren trying to run. They're trying to flee from God. God's been calling you to do something. I don't know what it is. You know what it is. You got an idea what it is. You're starting to see something. God's trying to show you, hey, you know what? This. Whether there's playing a guitar and or the piano in the church, whether it's singing, whether it's giving, whether it's preaching more in the church, whether it's leaving the church, leaving this land and going to another land. God can fill your spot here. God can fill your spot here. We've seen the church go, you know, it's like they say around here, an accordion, you know. I was just thankful for the news that Brother Adrian brought to me when he came up here. He says, you know what? Oh, Dolores came back the other day, that Sunday that you were. I said, praise the Lord. Dolores, a lady that has a couple children, a lady by herself, and she got saved according to her testimony. She came back. Now, I don't know how long she's going to stay, but you know what? Some go and some come back. Some go and some don't come back. But God always brings someone else through there. And some stick. Some stick. And brethren, you know what, around here, this group has stayed about the same, a little bigger, it's a little bigger now. But you know, that's what's happening. Anyway, where can we go? You can't hide from God. Well, anyway, there's a lot more here, but in verse 14 it says, I will praise thee, David says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. What did David say? He will praise him. How about you just here in the church? Are you praising the Lord? Where's the hand clapping? I say, I don't say we have to get all charismatic or nothing, but where's the hand clapping? I remember Leanne came the other night, and I think she felt the same thing. She started clapping. And before you know it, the brother was starting to clap. Where's the praise? Where's the praise? David says, I will praise thee. Are you waiting for a feeling? What are you waiting for? You're waiting to see God? Are you starting to live like these others that got to see something to believe? He says, I will praise thee. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. How about the gospel? Does it seem marvelous to you yet? I tell you, all around me, I see things happening. I see in the news today how a lady got battered, and her 10-year-old boy battered with a baseball bat. I mean, you know what I'm saying is you see all the stuff happening, and then we just have to rest. We see even our own flesh, what it does, what it's desire, what it's always, you know, after. And then we have to just remember the marvelous work of God. I know that's my rest. He is my resting place, the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, how about you? I know there's some sound people here. I'm thankful for you. You could see it. You know, I'm not talking about an outward thing. You see it in the fruit of their lives. But maybe God's calling you for a little more to praise Him. Well, let's go on to 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know, this chapter here talks about the collection for the poor and giving and all that. It gets into 9 gives into that. And I'm not going to get into that. I don't think I'm going to get into that, but I want you to see something, that giving is not always just giving your money or your things. I think a lot of people substitute, like it says in verse 5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own self to the Lord, and unto us
by the will of God. You know, it's why you can't buy God. You just can't buy God. If you're not saved, you cannot buy God. You know that. If you cannot, whatever price you could muster up, you cannot buy God. And Christian, you can't buy God. You cannot buy God. These people here, these Macedonians, they gave of their own selves to the Lord. What's God calling you to? I don't know. I don't know. But I know He's calling some of y'all to get up out of your chair. Quit being a snorehead. You know what I mean? A lot of you when the brother gets up and preaches to you, I know we all got to go through these things. We all get tired and all that. But I mean, time after time after time, and something's getting wrong. Something is wrong because if you're just here and you're just giving over here, but you're not giving over here, giving yourself to the Lord, something's wrong. God, these people here, they're giving their own selves to the Lord. How can you give of your own self? And then it says in verse 7, it says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, now how many here are not abounding in everything? Huh? Brother? You can be a missionary in Mexico and abound in everything. You can live right here in San Antonio and abound in everything. It says, you that abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion and the frowardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Think about that. Forward a year ago. I'm not sure I got the clear thought about it, but it spoke to me in a certain way. I think about, it's been a year since we come here to have this conference. And a year ago, God has spoken to some people, and they didn't move. They tried to hide in the darkness. They just shunned God's call. They just let it go. They started building bigger barns. They started looking for a place to retire. They looked for a resting place. Brother, you're strangers and pilgrims. Hey, praise the Lord for the rest. Missionaries rest too. You might come find me with my slippers on and rest. There's a rest for the people of God. But what I'm saying is, brethren, that I think if we forget, like one of the brothers preached here, our primary reason is to get the gospel out.
Amen.
But I think people are just wanting the rest of God. They're just basking, they're looking for rest. Praise the Lord again for the rest. But your real rest comes when you see Jesus face to face. I'm not against building and against having, things. Don't get me wrong, brother. But you know who I'm talking to. You know who you are. I mean, if you're in God's will and doing what God wants you to do and you're building, ain't nothing wrong with that. If you know you're in God's will. But some of y'all shake when you build those bigger barns, those bigger bank accounts or whatever. He says here in verse 10, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it. Now, perform. Now. Then he says, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. What do you have for the Lord? Yourself. What do you have besides yourself? Talents. What do you have? He says here, in verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. You know what you have, brother, in your heart. You know that God's asking you for it. And that's what God wants. So what you have, not what you don't have. Maybe you're young in the Lord and all this. This might give you some emotional drive or something. Well, if you don't see what God has given you, yet, well, it's not talking to you. It's not for you to jump too fast. I'm talking about those. I'm not saying there's a time period either. Paul told, I think Timothy, despise not thy, let no man despise thy youth. It could be. I'm not trying to close the door on nobody. But it's according to what a man hath. He says in 12 again, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Look at verse 15 though. Finish off, it says, as it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Think on that, brethren. I don't know how to put it. You all think on it. What are you gathering? Do you have a lot?
Praise the Lord.